you've got to get there if you are at all into hiking. It's absolutely beautiful. The views are incredible. It's situated on the Helderberg Escarpment, which is a series of limestone cliffs, and they are some of the richest fossil-bearing formations in the world. So you go up there, you have views, panoramic views of the Hudson Valley, the Adirondacks, the Green Mountains, and it has waterfalls, caves. You can find fossils right on the trail.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are the authors of Where Should We Camp Next?, Where Should We Camp Next? National Parks, and Where Should We Camp Next? Budget Camping.
This year, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the RV Atlas podcast.
We hope you join us as we cover the best campgrounds, the best RVs, the best food, and the best gear to bring with you when you go.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We have a real treat for you today. We have a brand new correspondent coming on the show, though she's been friends of the RV Atlas for many, many years. We actually met many years ago at Sandy Pines Campground in Maine. But we are having Olivia Karras on the show for the very first time. She was on my Six Things I Love About My RV show last season, and she was amazing, giving us a tour of her Riverside Retro. But today she is coming on the podcast for the very first time, and she has an incredible review of Skodak Island State Park Campground, which is actually a relatively new state park campground in New York State. And if you have listened to this podcast for any stretch of time, you know that Stephanie and I have always said that New York State is an incredibly underrated state for camping when you talk about the United States as a whole. I know that people in the region value New York State as a camping destination, but I don't think that nationally people understand what an amazing destination it is for RVing, because you've got Niagara Falls, you've got the Finger Lakes, you've got the Catskills, you've got the Adirondacks, you've got Lake George, you've got Montauk, you've got beaches. There's just such a variety of landscapes, of culture, of history, of food. And Olivia is not going to just give us the campground review here. She also has some incredible recommendations for things to do, for activities, for hikes, for historical sightseeing, and she has got lots of great food recommendations too at the end of the show. So without further ado, let's welcome Olivia Karras onto the RV Atlas for the very first time, and hopefully not the last time. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go Power. Go Power has been the industry leader for mobile solar solutions since 1996. From their beginnings as a small Canadian distributor of solar energy products, GoPower has grown to become one of North America's leading suppliers of recreational and business solar solutions. Their high-quality solar panels, inverters, controllers, and batteries offer a durable, dependable, and cost-effective solution for your mobile power needs when you are camping without hookups or boondocking far off-grid. We have had GoPower solar systems on two of our RVs, and they have been absolute game changers for us. They allow us to boondock, dry camp, and driveway surf, and still charge our devices at night and make coffee in the morning. GoPower not only makes the best equipment, they also offer the best support. The support section on GoPower's website offers technical support, installation assistance, and answers to FAQs. There has never been a better time to add a GoPower solar system to your RV and hit the open road. And with over 1 million solar panels sold and 28 years of experience, GoPower is the brand to trust for your mobile power needs. To find out more, follow them on Instagram at GoPowerSolar and head on over to their website at GoPowerSolar.com. That's GoPowerSolar.com. Hello, Olivia Karras, and welcome to the RV Atlas for the very first time. I'm so excited to have you on the RV Atlas. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This is a thrill. You know, being a fan of a podcast for 8 years and then getting to be a guest is pretty cool. So I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much for listening for all those many years. And thank you so much for coming on Six Things I Love About My RV last year.
That was fun.
Yeah, Olivia recorded with Sean and I, and I will put that in the show notes to this episode if anyone wants to see Olivia's episode. So tell our listeners who don't know you as well as I do, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and sort of your history with RVs and camping.
Sure. So my family is my husband, Ben, my our 9-year-old daughter and our 12-year-old son and our two dogs. And we live in the Albany, New York area. We've been camping for about 8 years now. Neither my husband nor I grew up RVing. I went to summer camp, but I definitely didn't do any RV camping until some friends of ours invited us to check out a pop-up camper. And we spent a weekend in a pop-up camper up in Lake George. And my daughter actually took her first steps on that camping trip. And we just had so much fun. We were hooked from that point. I found your podcast. And we ended up buying a vintage camper as our first camper, a 1963 Shasta Astrodome named Daisy, Daisy the Shasta. And we loved that camper. My kids loved it. It was the cutest. We really love the vintage look, but it wasn't very practical. We wanted indoor plumbing and things like that. So we ended up purchasing a 2020 Riverside Retro 190BH. And that's what we have today, our camper named Zelda. And that was the camper that was on Six Things I Love About My RV. And that is the camper that we camp in to this day. And we love it.
And named after Zelda Fitzgerald, right? Which I love.
That's correct.
Tell us why.
There was a lot of family debate. Because she was an intrepid, fascinating woman. And, you know, that's a good role model.
Absolutely. I loved coming up to your house and seeing the camper. And so that was kind of a cool transition for you. So you're able to keep the vintage vibe, as it were, have a modern camper that had all the features that you guys wanted.
That's right. We really love the look. You know, if it's going to be in my driveway, I want to look at it. I want to think it's cute. And we got that with the Riverside Retro. So kind of best of both worlds.
And you love that RV, right? I mean, you were willing to come on the show and be like, I love this RV. I mean, it's worked really well for you guys, right?
It has. I talked about this before, but it's about 20 feet long. It has bunk beds. It kind of has everything that we need in a smaller package, which is nice. My kids are getting older, on the other hand, and bigger, and, you know, the bunks are starting to get a little cozy. So who knows what the future holds, but at least this year, we're still all in with it. So
I am constantly in my own life caught by surprise by how quickly, like, the kids change, the kids grow, and then that necessitates like an RV switch or whatever it might be. Do you regret getting rid of the Shasta, though? Is that like a sore point? Do you wish that you kept it and rented it, or just kept it in the driveway? Or was it the right move to, you know, also get rid of it?
Yeah, the kids, honestly, and they were a lot littler, but they still remember it. They miss it. They give me a hard time for getting rid of it. I don't think my neighbors would have loved two RVs in our driveway, nor would we have room for two. But we will always remember that camper. It was the cutest.
Well, and it's about the memories at the end of the day, not about the actual RV. So you're in, and look, you're in a beautiful part of the world for RVing and camping. Like, what are some of your favorite places to camp every year? Like, where do you guys go? Like, what are your camping routines?
So we're still in that time of life when we don't take really long distance trips because of the kids. And maybe more because of me. I get a little anxious at the thought of more than 5 or 6 hour travel, you know, type of thing. So what we're still doing at this phase is the 2 to 3 hour trips. And that leaves so many options for us in this part of the world. As you said, we have the Adirondacks to the north. We have the Catskills to the south. We have the Berkshire Hills to the east, and then Boston and Cape Cod beyond that. So everything's really within striking distance. Everything I just said is 3 hours-ish or less. So that's kind of where we've been making our little journeys for the last several years. And we love it. There's plenty to see and do.
You could spend your life exploring the Northeast. Mm-hmm. You really could. And like anyone listening out west, you know, that iconic RV trip's always east to west. But, you know, people from the west come to the east, too. And one thing that's so different is there's such a long drive to get from one place to the other out west. Mm-hmm. You know, if you live where you are in New York State or in New England, you know, you could be doing, like you said, these 2 to 3 hour adventures and ending up in really, really different places culturally, geographically, the mountains, the ocean, the lakes. I just adore New York as a camping state, as you probably know. And you have a terrific campground review today, sort of a hidden gem in New York State. So what campground are you going to be reviewing? How do you pronounce it? And where is it located?
Yep. So I'm going to be talking about Skodak Island State Park Campground, which is located in Skodak Island State Park. I know you guys have been talking a lot about state parks lately, and I think this is a really lovely destination that has proved to be very popular. And we are about 15 to 20 minutes south of Albany, New York. Albany is on the west side of the Hudson. So you cross to the east side of the Hudson and then you drive south about 20 minutes and you're there.
That's a really beautiful part of New York State. I mean, New York State's such a beautiful state, but it's such a great area. And I know, towards the end of the podcast, you're going to tell us some cool things to do around here as well. But I do love that part of New York State and it's not too far from me. Anything else we need to know about the location, or do you want to tell us like a bit about the state park where the campground is located?
Yeah, I think as I mentioned, we are sort of in this ideal location that's a jumping off point for a lot of destinations in the Northeast. So if you were on your way through New York State, you could stop here. And then you've got the Adirondacks to the north, you've got Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine from here. So you could really make this a stopover, or you could make it a destination all in itself. Let me tell you a little bit about the state park itself. So, Skodak Island State Park, it's a newer state park. It was opened in 2002. It's about 1,000 acres, and it has 7 miles of shoreline along the Hudson River and the Skodak Creek. So it has, the Hudson, as you may know, is a tidal river. And so you've got the salt water of the Hudson, the fresh water of the creek joining here. And so it's designated as a state estuary. And it's also a bird conservation area. So it's a really pretty state park. There's a lot of things to do here. And especially the birds, you can see the bald eagles, you can see blue herons here. So there's some really neat wildlife as well.
That's one of the great things about camping and RVing is it pairs so well with other hobbies, you know, and a lot of people buy an RV because they have some other hobby they're passionate about and they want to be able to get to it. So if you're listening and you're into birding, my goodness, this is just a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. Now, do we have a little bit of a funny story here about birding or about the state park?
Yeah. So my husband and I used to live just a couple miles from this state park, and we have moved, but there was a day when we were walking up our driveway together and we came across a whole fish on the driveway, about 12 inches long. And we were just looking at this fish, like, what is happening? And we put two and two together and realized that it was probably one of the bald eagles that had dropped it in his travels across the area. And but we used to see bald eagles all the time living close to the state park. And so you never know what you're going to come across.
we were at Disney World once in the pool at Fort Wilderness, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And a bird dropped, like, it was like a 12-foot fish into the pool, into the busy, crowded pool. And of course, there's like kids screaming. And of course, because it's Disney World, they have to like shut down everything, you know, and like purify the water. All right. So tell us a little bit more about the history of this campground or its lack of history. It's a relatively new campground, which, like, for New York State in the South, if you say, oh, it's a new state park campground, you know, that's not a surprising thing to say. But like in New York State, that's kind of a big deal to get like a new campground, right?
It really is. I think there was some funding in 2016 was when this campground was built. And I think there was an infusion of funding into the state parks at that time. And this ended up being the first new campground in New York State in 35 years. So And this is considered, I think, one of the more modern of the campgrounds. We'll get into the amenities of it, but I thought that was pretty fascinating.
My immediate thought is, oh, that's so sad. That's the first new campground they've built in New York State in 35 years or whatever it is. But then my second thought was, but there are so many campgrounds in New York State. Like, it is a state park campground rich state. But one thing that's in my journey, and you can tell me as a New Yorker if you agree or disagree, in my journeys up to New York State campgrounds, there are so many beautiful New York State campgrounds and beautiful locations, but a lot of them are old and they're sort of outdated and they're not being loved financially by the state. I mean, is that, would you agree with that? I mean, you know more than I do as a New Yorker.
That is my understanding. You know, I will be honest with you. We are kind of a full hookup family. We don't tend to go to places where there's a lot of off-grid boondocking. And so in my research around New York State, frankly, there's a lot of state park campgrounds that we don't stay at for that reason. They're rustic. I think universally they are rustic, and any kind of hookups are few and far between. So as you said, I think there are many gorgeous campgrounds, but you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. So let's just skip ahead a couple points. Like, but this one, there are some hookups here, right? And what you said is 100% true. And again, someone in the South or the Midwest or the West, people don't always understand this. In the Northeast, for the most part, state parks do not have hookups. That's not a universal statement. It's not true about every campground, but it is unusual to find state and county parks with hookups. But does this one actually have some hookups? And is that why you were attracted to go to this one?
Yes. I mean, the fact that it was so close to our house was great because we were new campers at the time that we first stayed here. We brought Daisy, our Shasta, here. And I think this is where we had our very first camping trip with her. But yes, the fact that it did have power was helpful to us. And so yes, this campground has two loops, the Creekside and the Riverside loop, and there are 66 sites altogether, and 43 of those sites do have 50 amp electric. And so, you know, this is actually considered pretty modern by New York State Park standards, but there are no water or sewer hookups at any of the sites. There is a dump station, there are water stations, but that is what you're going to get. You are going to get 50 amp electric at about two-thirds of the sites.
That is very modern for New York State, for New Jersey, for anywhere around here, really. So 50 amps, too. So, you know, you can bring a motorhome, bring a larger RV with two air conditioners, for goodness sake. So what does this campground look like? Is it like a really pretty campground? Is the state park also really pretty?
Yeah, I think it's very pretty. It's wooded. I think it's a little bit unique looking for this area. When you think of the Northeast, you think of mountains, you think of pine trees. But because the state park is right at sea level, I think that's what accounts for the different vegetation. There's cottonwood trees, vines. It's very densely wooded. But at the same time, the sites do feel open. You can see plenty of sky. So I would say they're like part sun, part shade. And they are spacious. They're very level because, again, this campground was just built, and they're considered to be pretty large private sites.
When you were there, did it, I know you don't have a big rig, as you mentioned, like your RV is like 20 feet or something like that. Did you notice some larger fifth wheels or motorhomes able to get in and out? I mean, the fact that they have 50 amp sites would lead me to believe that they could accommodate larger RVs.
Yes, there were definitely Class A's, and I think you have to make sure you choose one of the pull-through sites. But we definitely saw the larger ones in the pull-through sites.
And that's another thing about state parks in the Northeast versus state parks in the South and state parks in other parts of the country. They tend to not be big rig friendly. They just don't, you know? So that's good. That's encouraging to see a modern campground with, you know, 30 and 50 amp and big rig friendly. So are there some like best sites that you might recommend or your favorite sites if you went back?
Yeah, on the Riverside Loop, I liked sites 22 through 24. We stayed in one of those and there was a little path that led you to the state park playground. So those sites are the closest to the playground. which is nice. You can kind of walk from there. On the other loop, the Creekside Loop, there is, I noticed, I was there recently to check it all out again, and I did notice that there's a really cute little playground for very young kids in the middle of the Creekside Loop near the bathhouse. So that's another nice spot to be if you have very small children.
That's fantastic. I mean, I love it when there's some things for older kids, some things for younger kids, because sometimes you don't want the littlest ones at the main playground because things can get a little rough and rowdy. Anything else that you wanted to mention in that sort of series of questions about the campground? If not, we will move on.
Yeah, just the fact that each loop, I'm not sure if I mentioned, it does have a bathhouse, free showers. There's water spigots throughout. So that's your basic layout, is those two loops.
All right, awesome. We are going to come back in a second. We're going to learn a lot more about this campground, and we're going to talk about things to do in the area because Olivia knows this area very, very well and has lots of great recommendations. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Harvest Hosts. With overnight RV camping at over 5,099 farms, wineries, breweries, attractions, and more, Harvest Hosts is America's largest and most fun RV camping membership program. And because it only costs $99 per year, a Harvest Host membership is also an incredible value. Members with self-contained RVs can enjoy a wine tasting, feed alpacas, purchase some fresh farm produce, and more, all while enjoying an unforgettable overnight stay. Spend the night at a museum, wake up to beautiful vineyards, visit unique attractions, or enjoy a local brewery. With thousands of locations, there is something for everyone to enjoy, all with no camping fees. In return, members are asked to support their hosts by purchasing one of their local products with each stay. Looking for a last-minute booking for the solar eclipse in April? Harvest Hosts opens reservations 90 days in advance and is a great option for those looking for a stellar experience. Visit harvesthosts.com and use promo code ECLIPSE24 to save 20% off of your annual membership today. That's harvesthosts.com and promo code ECLIPSE24 to save 20% off on your annual membership today. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Olivia Karras from New York State, and we are getting an awesome review of Skodak Island State Park Campground, and I'm really hoping I said that correctly.
You did.
All right, so I imagine this is a very popular campground. So was it easy to book? Do sites fill up quickly? And how much do the sites cost here?
You know, it's kind of remarkable to see prices this low in the Northeast. It's a little shocking to me, frankly, and it's probably something that people are used to in other parts of the country. But these sites run $15 to $19 per night for the non-electric and $23 to $27 per night with the electric. And those are booked on Reserve America. And I believe you can book 9 months in advance. So I couldn't tell you how quickly they book up, but it is convenient to be able to just go right online and book those. There's also a entrance fee for cars on the weekends and holidays, but that doesn't apply to campers. So those are the main things you need to know about booking. The other thing is that, and I haven't seen this before, but the two loops of this campground have different seasons. The Riverside Loop, for example, is open this year from May 3rd to October 13th, but the Creekside Loop is open April 19th to November 17th. And I spoke to someone at the campground asking why that is, and she said it's because the Creekside bathrooms are heated, the Riverside bathrooms are not, so the Creekside Loop can be open for a longer season.
That's good to know. And forgive me if you said this, but there's a $5 surcharge for out-of-state residents, so Jeremy has to pay $5 more than Olivia.
Yeah, I guess we really like to welcome out-of-staters by charging them extra. $5 per night extra, that is correct, for out-of-state.
Okay, at the end of the day, if you tack on $5 to either, you know, $19 to $27 site, it's still a ridiculous bargain. And I know a lot of people get really annoyed by extra fees for people from out-of-state, but like, maybe I'm unusual. I'm totally okay with it because like your tax dollars are probably contributing to the building of this campground and the upkeep. So I'm the way I look at it is it's cheaper if you're in state, right? I have no problem with that. Now, what Florida's doing where if you're in state, you get to book sites first. We should talk about another day. That's a little bit more controversial, but I don't mind the $5 upcharge. And that's super, super good information about the two different loops having different seasons. And that's actually pretty solid, though, till November 17th. Like, I would imagine a lot of places around you in New York State are closed before that, right?
Yeah, Columbus Day is usually when everything shuts down up here. So I was surprised to see that, too. That gives you an extra month if you want to do some fall camping.
Absolutely. So how about any amenities? And obviously, it's a state park, and we're not looking for tons of amenities. But what are some of the things that we have both in the campground and in the park?
Yeah, so this park does have 8 miles of multi-use trails. There are pavilions that you can rent for gatherings, and they just have all the typical activities of a state park, like hunting, fishing, boating, geocaching, hiking, biking, a nice playground, nice picnic spots. They even offer some ice skates and snowshoes for rental in the winter, although that's not what we're focused on here, but it is a nice year-round spot to do a variety of outdoor activities.
And like so many state park campgrounds, like there's not a ton in the campground. You're going to need to sort of venture out into the state park to find these things.
That's right. And everything's pretty close by.
All right. How about food? Anything we need to know about food in this campground or in the state park?
Well, you wouldn't think there would be any, but actually they have a neat event that they do in the summer. A nearby firehouse, the Skodak Landing Firehouse, puts on what they call Firehouse Fridays. So every Friday you can walk over from your campsite to one of the pavilions and you can get burgers, hot dogs, sausage and peppers, meatball subs. They do all kinds of grilling out there, and you can enjoy vendors and live music. So that's a fun thing to do if you happen to be there on a Friday night in the summertime, and something you wouldn't necessarily expect to find in a state park.
That's so cool, because if you're just coming in for the weekend, like making that Friday night dinner can always be a little stressful, you know, when you're just showing up at the campground and getting set up. So like if you know in advance that this is running while you're there, and you can like park the RV and then head over and grab some food. And I would imagine it benefits the firehouse, right? I would think.
Yeah, they do it to raise money for the firehouse. And yeah, I think people really do enjoy it. The campers enjoy it. And in fact, the campground being established here is kind of what precipitated this event. I think they knew they had like this captive audience of campers and they started putting this together. And I think it's a lot of fun.
They knew there were hungry campers nearby.
Yes.
They knew that they liked burgers and hot dogs and sausage and peppers. This sounds like such a cool way to spend a Friday night at the campground. Any other activities that we should know about or look for if we're going to head here?
Yeah, they do put on some events in the summertime. There's a library up the road, Castleton Public Library, which offers events in partnership with the park. So they'll do story times. They'll sometimes do outdoor movie nights in the summertime. And they put on a fall festival in October that's very popular. They even do this thing called Lights in Our Park at Christmas, where people decorate the sites and win prizes and things. So they do put some fun events on. And I would just, you know, make sure you contact the park or check their Facebook page to see what type of events are going on.
That's such a great tip because, you know, when you're going camping, you don't think to check like the local library for cool events, but there could be really good. And this is the year of budget camping here at the RV Atlas with the budget camping book. Like this sounds like super affordable, fun stuff to do right near the campground. So any insider details, like anything else that you can share from your experience of having been there with people who might want to try it for the first time?
Yeah, I would mention a few things. First of all, there is the boating. You can bring your boat, motorized boats on the Hudson, and there's a kayak launch over on the creek. But you do need to be aware of the tides. The creek can turn into mudflats at low tide. So that's something to be aware of. And the information station can help you with being aware of the tide charts and things like that. Be aware of ticks. It's the Northeast. It's reality. And so there have been a few bear sightings at this park. I wouldn't say a lot. It's not a deeply wooded area, but they are out there. I mentioned that they do permit hunting at this campground, so you want to be aware of hunters during hunting season, which is pretty much at the end of the camping season. And I wanted to also mention that this isn't necessarily a silent place to camp. You are next to the Hudson River, which has boat traffic, which can be really fun. Actually, there can be some huge, you know, cargo ships that go by that can be really exciting for the kids. But you are going to hear some traffic. There's a bridge over the river near this campground. And so you will hear a little bit of traffic. You're not, like I said, you're not in a deeply wooded area. So it's just something to be aware of.
Now, for us here in New Jersey, several hours away from you, like most of our state park campgrounds, like ticks are not really, I know that some people hear ticks and they're like, oh my God, but by us, it's not an issue in the spring and the fall as much. It's really more of a summer issue. Is that kind of like, here at this campground, would you say it's more a summer issue or just all year round, just take precautions with ticks?
I will be honest. I think it's pretty much all year round, especially as our winters have been more mild. They say with these mild winters that the ticks never really hibernate or go wherever they go. And so, you just need to take those basic precautions. I would say anytime you're in camping season, just check your dogs, make sure everybody tucks their pants into their socks and uses the bug spray, and just checking for ticks is just something to unfortunately be aware of. When we were kids running through the woods, nobody talked about ticks, but that's reality now. And I think you just want to always make sure you check.
All right. Perfect. But nobody's perfect. So anything about this campground, this sounds like a really just a lovely campground and a real win for the state of New York, but anything that could be improved or anything you'd like to see them improve or just anything that we need to be aware of before we go?
I thought about it, and as long as you're aware of the caveats that I mentioned, things that, can't be changed, the fact that it is a state park, you're not going to get the full hookups. You are going to be near, some ambient traffic noise and things of that nature. But if you accept those things, it's a lovely place to be. I can't think of anything they could improve. I think they did a really nice job with this campground.
And it's $17 to $35 a night. Like, my goodness, it feels like it's just not right to pick on anything, and camping is that affordable. This place sounds really, really wonderful. One more question before we take a break. Just best time of year to visit. I mean, like, if somebody is going to pick between spring, summer, and fall, like, what's your personal favorite time of year to go here?
I think all of those seasons are really nice times to visit this part of the country. I think the Northeast is really famous for the fall, the foliage. You have those warm days to be outside still, but then you've got the cool nights around the campfire. And I think fall is a special time to be here.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to come back in a second. And Olivia is going to just share some things to do in the area in terms of hiking, activities, attractions, and some great options for food. But before we dive into all that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at RV Share. With over 4 million nights booked and thousands of 5-star reviews from happy customers, RV Share is America's number one RV rental site. With a wide-ranging inventory from affordable pop-up campers to luxury motorhomes, RV Share has a rental that is perfect for you. Whether you are looking for a pet-friendly RV or an RV that can be delivered directly to your campsite, RV Share makes the entire rental process simple and fun. Each booking on RV Share also includes 24/7 roadside assistance for the ultimate peace of mind on the road. No matter where the open road is taking you, get ready to use your outside voice, because as soon as you step inside your RV rental, the adventure begins. Book your RV now for the solar eclipse this April, and make sure to check out RV Share's Total Solar Eclipse RV Guide on rvshare.com. This landing page has great resources like solar eclipse packing tips and lists, solar eclipse family activities, and links to rentals in each state in the path of totality. Check out rvshare.com to find out more and use promo code RVATLAS30 for $30 off a booking of $500 or more. That's rvshare.com and promo code RVATLAS30 for $30 off a booking of $500 or more. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Olivia Karras, who doesn't know this yet, but she's going to be our new New York correspondent for Campground Reviews in New York. This is such a little gem here. So let's talk about the area around this campground and around this state park. What are some of your favorite things to do in the area?
Well, if you're in this state park, the immediate area is pretty rural. So if we're talking within like a 20-minute range of the campground, there isn't a whole lot to do, but there are quite a few activities if you go just a bit further. But If you're looking for something close, as I said, right up the road is the library. You can get free Wi-Fi there, and they always have a regular schedule of activities for kids. That's a good rainy day spot for campers. I know they get campers from the campground on rainy days especially. And there is a really nice orchard called Golden Harvest Farms, which is about 15, 20 minutes away. Great place to go in the fall for apple picking, cider donuts, you know, pies, things like that. Very popular. So those are some things close by. And then we'll move just a few minutes further away and we'll get into some other things.
Which is cool. Like if you want a quiet retreat, this sounds like a great place for that. But then if you're looking for things to do, you have to drive a little bit, but not too much. So how about hiking or other outdoor type activities?
Yeah. So if you have your bikes with you, there is a really cool, new, exciting trail. It's called the Empire State Trail. It was recently completed. It's a 750-mile trail all across New York State. And there are branches that go from Buffalo to Albany, from New York City up to Albany, and I think it goes up all the way to the Canadian border from here. So there are pieces of the trail that are close by, and you can probably find a parking spot on the trail within 15 or 20 minutes. In fact, I know you can find a spot to bring your bikes over and get on that, hop on that trail. It has its own website, and there are lots of things to find along the trail. So that's something fun to do, especially for biking. If you're looking for hiking, I have a strenuous recommendation, which is it's at another state park. It's called John Boyd Thatcher State Park. This is about a 40-minute drive from our campground here, but you've got to get there if you are at all into hiking. It's absolutely beautiful. The views are incredible. It's situated on the Helderberg Escarpment, which is a series of limestone cliffs, and they are some of the richest fossil-bearing formations in the world. So you go up there, you have views, panoramic views of the Hudson Valley, the Adirondacks, the Green Mountains, and the best trail, I would say one of the best trails in this area, is called the Indian Ladder Trail. And it has waterfalls, caves, you can find fossils right on the trail. And you climb up and down staircases. It's a lot of fun for kids and adults. And it's, as I said, it's considered one of the best trails in this region. And that state park, Thatcher Park, also has a new feature. It's like an aerial adventure course called Wild Play. And you can do zip lines, high ropes, a lot of fun. So that's a great spot to spend the day, bring a picnic, hike, and just enjoy the beautiful views.
I can't help but think, too, like, you know, through the COVID years and the years after, there were so many stories about overcrowding at our national parks and overcrowding at the Grand Canyon and Yellowstone. And this is not a real crowded part of the country, right? In terms of being able to park at trailheads and being able to get campsites. And I mean, I don't want to oversimplify too much, but if you're looking for destinations that are in the grand scheme of things, off the beaten path a little bit, this whole part of New York State and extending, you know, from the campground out up to the Adirondacks and all that stuff, not a super crowded place to travel even during the summer, right?
I think that's true. You know, you've talked in the podcast over the years about those issues in the big national parks. I don't have personal experience with that. What I'm used to is a much more mellow vibe up here in the Northeast. And so, as you said, you know, sometimes up in the Adirondacks, at the height of the summer, you're going to have some parking issues, which they are addressing. But in this part of New York State, especially, you're always going to be able to go where you'd like to go. It's not going to be a problem. You're going to run into people in the middle of summer on a trail, but it's just not going to be prohibitive.
Great way to put it. So how about any other attractions that might help you round out a week's vacation to this part of the country or just an extended long weekend? So some other fun stuff to do.
Yes, I've got a whole list. You know, this area, which is called the Capital Region, there are actually 1 million people living here, surprisingly, even though we do have this mellow vibe in this area. So you're going to have a bit of everything. You're going to have the city life. You have the cities of Albany, as well as Schenectady, Troy, and Saratoga Springs are kind of the Capital Region and the suburban communities surrounding them. And then, as we've already talked about, you're going to have really easy access to a lot of natural attractions. But moving into kind of the more urban things to do, of which there are many. Starting in Albany, you can take a tour of the USS Slater, which is a World War II destroyer escort. I understand that's a pretty rare and unique attraction that World War II buffs really love. You can visit the Empire State Museum. That's a free museum in downtown Albany. It's dedicated to the history and culture of New York State. I have to send people there because my husband works there. I'm a little biased. He's in charge of graphic design there. But it's a fun place to bring the kids. Rainy days, again, it's a free spot to go. There's a carousel they can ride. There are fun exhibits to check out at the Empire State Museum. And while you're there, you can walk right over to the state capitol, where you can get tours, guided tours. In fact, I just recently took a haunted tour of the state capitol, which was fun around Halloween. Learned about some of the hauntings of this interesting building. And there's other museums in downtown Albany. There's shopping and dining along Albany's Lark Street. And you can also walk in Washington Park, which is their urban, beautiful gem of a park. And in the summertime in the park, you'll find the Park Playhouse, which is an outdoor theater that offers free professional theater all summer long. So much fun to walk over and see that. Did you want to say something?
I want to say that you could work for New York State in like in tourism, right? This is wonderful, and I'm smiling as you're doing it just because I love New York State so much, and I've just said it 100 times that it's such an underrated destination nationally, you know. And I feel like everyone listening out in California, everyone listening on the West Coast, you need to come to New York State. There's so much history, so much to do. I love it. What else have you got here? I didn't mean to cut you short.
No, that's okay. It's funny because you've always said it's such an underrated destination for camping. I think that's true. I've explored a lot of the state out to the Finger Lakes, north, south. I mean, I've even camped outside of New York City, in campgrounds that you guys have suggested. And I would agree with you. It's underrated and you could just frankly never leave. And we usually don't leave. So we're very happy here, but
I also think the state could use the injection of some more tourism dollars, to be quite frank, you know, not to go into too much detail about that, but I think it'd be good for the economy, you know, I mean, and you've got the ocean, you've got the mountains, you've got Niagara Falls. I could go on and on and on. But anyway, I won't get sidetracked too much. But you had some other cool things around our campground here.
Yeah. So let's see. Moving out of Albany a little further north up the Hudson River, you have the city of Troy, which is where I work. I'm very familiar with Troy. And at this point, we're about half an hour from the campground. So really quite accessible. And they call Troy the Brooklyn of the North. It has some great shopping and dining and a really unique, walkable, beautiful, historic downtown. They filmed the HBO show, The Gilded Age, here, right outside the courthouse where I work. I was watching the horse-drawn carriages going down the street over the last few years while they've been filming that show. And the famous film, The Age of Innocence, was also filmed here. So you do get a sense of that, that 19th century architecture that is quite lovely and well-preserved here, which makes it a destination for filmmakers and for, you know, for walking and enjoying it. I will also mention the Troy Farmers Market while I'm here in Troy. The Troy Farmers Market Saturday mornings year round, especially in the warmer months when the farmers market's outside, it is fantastic. It's huge. You can get anything you could desire, from the produce to the cheese, the, you know, the baked goods, the hot food, the specialty coffee. Lots to see and do at the farmers market. You got to check that out if you're in Troy. And really then in under an hour, you can make it up to Saratoga Springs, which is the location of the famous Saratoga Racecourse, the oldest sports venue in America. And during their season, which you'll need to check the dates, but during their season in the summer, you can see racing 6 days a week, bet on the horses. That's a really fun way to spend a day with your family. And then while you're in Saratoga, you can check out the National Museum of Racing. Saratoga Performing Arts Center is a really famous venue for national tour acts. And you can even relax in the natural mineral springs in Saratoga, from which it gets its name. at the Roosevelt Baths and Spa, where I've been lucky enough to spend a day or two. So there's really a lot to do. You could easily fill a week in this area. And I didn't even mention if you go south from the campground, you get the city of Hudson in about a half hour. And the city of Hudson is just another fantastic destination for antiquing, dining, shopping, another really cool spot to spend the day.
I'm getting the sense that you love your home turf. And I love my home turf, and I probably should do more on the podcast about where we live. There's just not a lot of campgrounds around here. I'm getting the sense you're sort of, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, you're kind of a proud New Yorker, and that you just love this whole region around you. Is that right?
It's true. You know, I'm not even a native New Yorker. I grew up in Massachusetts, but you know, when I moved here, I realized just how much there is to offer, and how convenient it is to so many other major spots. And you know, I don't know why I'm turning into Little Miss New York State tour guide here, but I do. I'm a fan. I really think we have so much to do and so much to offer.
Oh my God, don't apologize, because my favorite thing over the years about this podcast is when people email and say, I used this episode to plan my trip. And that's what I love about the RV Atlas more than anything else we do. I love it when somebody listens to a show like this, gets a suggested itinerary, gets a suggested campground, and gets suggested food. So we're going to come back in a second, and we're going to talk about some really great options for places to eat. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Camco. Camco is one of our favorite companies in the outdoor recreation industry. For more than 50 years, they have remained a trusted North Carolina-based manufacturer specializing in innovative products for the RV, marine, outdoor living, and outdoor recreation markets. You may know them best by their American-made Rhino sewer hoses, Taste Pure water filters, EvoFlex drinking water hoses, and TST toilet chemicals. But their lineup of products doesn't end there. Camco continues to deliver products that bridge the gap between you and your next great adventure. From portable grills and campfires to ease lift hitches and power grip electrical adapters, they seem to be doing it all. There's a saying that if you own an RV, you are sure to own a Camco product or two. And it's true. We still use Camco products that we bought 12 years ago when we started RVing. This year, we are stocking up our new RV with go-to Camco products like their collapsible laundry basket and their Life is Better at the Campsite dishes and mugs. Head to CamcoOutdoors.com to check out all of the cool stuff that Camco makes and get 10% off your entire order with our discount code RVATLAS10. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Olivia Karras, and we got a wonderful campground review, getting a wonderful tour of the region. And I'm getting a sense from your notes here on this last section about food that you are perhaps a little bit of a foodie and love to kind of check out all the great food options when you're traveling as well. So if we're going to be camping here, what are some of the places we want to check out and possibly eat at?
Yes, I would say you save the best for last. I do love talking about food. Considering, as I said, there's over a million people in this region, you are not going to be short on food options. So I thought we would start with breweries, because I know RVers are often big into breweries. And there is a brewery pretty close by, which is actually quite family friendly. It's called S&S Farm Brewery. I think it's about 20, 25 minutes away. And it's a working farm and brewery, so it's open on Friday and Saturday nights, and they welcome families. They have a playground. They always do food trucks and live music. So that's a really fun family destination that's really not far from this campground. And then there is also a bit of a brewery district in North Albany. Again, probably 20 minutes from the campground. You can check out Druthers, Fort Orange, Fiden's Breweries are a few of the options in that area. Great food options and great beer. So if you're thinking about breakfast options heading out from this campground for breakfast, there's a couple diners nearby. You have Skodak Diner and Skyline Diner. Those aren't far. And there's a spot called the Crisp Cannoli, which is really great for sandwiches and baked goods. Love that spot. I did mention the Troy Farmers Market on Saturday mornings. Since we're talking about mornings, you know, if you're up in Troy or you want to head up to Troy, you're going to find plenty of breakfast options, coffee options up there. Now, I know, Jeremy, you are a big coffee guy. and I could not go through this without talking coffee. So my favorite coffee spot is called Gipfel Coffee, G-I-P-F-E-L, Gipfel Coffee. It's inside a very cute shop called Sand Lake Merchant, and that's where I get my beans and I get my Saturday morning, you know, latte. Really nice spot. And there's a couple of other coffee, specialty coffee roasters in this area that are quite good. Alias Coffee, Stax Espresso Bar, and Jacob Alejandro are all really well-known fine coffee options.
For any of these, do you know, not to put you on the spot, but can I order beans and have them shipped? Do you know from any of these places?
Yeah, I know Gipfel does their own. I believe that's an option for all of them. Yes. Yeah.
I'll link to these in the show notes at thearvyatlas.com. When you read these show notes, we'll have links to these places as well. Okay. Thank you so much for including coffee. Absolutely. Whenever I travel, I love to find great coffee. So now I know where to go. Any other good foodie options?
Yeah, I thought I'd just throw out a few different types of options for different tastes. But if we're thinking lunch and dinner, my favorite restaurant in this area is called A La Shanghai. It's in the Albany area. Great for soup dumplings. I'm obsessed with their soup dumplings. Ted's Fish Fry has multiple locations, really popular in the capital region.
When we filmed Six Things About My RV, I'm almost positive Sean and I ate the night before at Ted's Fish Fry.
I think you did. Yeah, it was right down the road from your hotel.
Yes, it was really good. I mean, it's a fish fry.
Yes.
Lot of frying going on there, but it was good and it was like a lot of food and it was pretty cheap. So yeah, I'm excited you mentioned that one.
That is an accurate description of their offerings. Pizza, you've got to go to DeFazio's in Troy. It is arguably, but not so arguably, probably the best pizza around. Very famous. Barbecue, there's Dinosaur Barbecue in Troy. They've got a few locations in the Northeast. Super popular spot. I happen to love Indian food. I would recommend Indian Flame for their excellent Indian buffet. And then last of all, you know, we got to get dessert. So I would say in the summertime, you're going to look for an ice cream spot. There's a lot of them around here, but I would head to Lickety Split or Curver Cream. Those are both fantastic ice cream options to end your day.
For DeFazio's pizza, you said, you know, arguably, not arguably. And that was such a like New York, New Jersey thing to say, like, because we get into fist fights over who makes the best pizza in this part of the country. And basically, like, you acknowledged that people argue about it, but you know that it's really, really, truly the best.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, strong words can be exchanged on this topic. But I think that DeFazio's, you're not going to go wrong if you head that way.
Now, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not from the Northeast, as so many of you are not from the Northeast, or you're not from the East at all, you know, people always debate which is better, East or West. And in terms of grand, epic locations and national parks, okay, West, you can have it. But there's so many reasons why an RV trip to the East is amazing. And you touched on so many of them, you know, the history, the culture, food. Okay, look, guys, I've been to Wyoming. I've been to Yellowstone and Grand Teton. We struggled to find good food in a lot of those places. You know, you can do a culinary RV trip through New England and New York and have that be the focus of the whole trip. Or you could do a historical sightseeing and make that the focus of the trip. Or in the East, you can do all the above. And guess what? If you go to New York, you got beautiful mountains, you got beautiful lakes, you got beautiful fly fishing, you've got beautiful beaches. Nature is on full display. Mother Nature is on full display in the state of New York for camping and RV trips. Thank you so much. Was there anything, you just gave us so much information to plan a trip. Was there anything that you wanted to add or anything that we skipped over or I interrupted you or anything like that? Or did we really pack in everything?
I think you just summed it all up really beautifully. I think that this hopefully will give everybody a lot of things to do and explore. I really just scratched the surface, but there's a lot that you can enjoy in this area.
Awesome. So what's up for you guys in 2024 in terms of camping and RVing? Are we keeping it in New York State, keeping it local? Do we have any trips planned in the RV?
We are keeping it pretty local. In fact, I think entirely in New York State. We're going to be going to a couple of Spacious Skies campgrounds. I'm excited to check those out. The Adirondack Peaks and the Woodland Hills campgrounds. I know I just heard your episode with the owner of the Spacious Skies campgrounds, and I'm excited to see those. And we're also going to the Jellystone in Gardner, which has a huge water park. Big hit for the kids, so they're already excited for that one. But we are keeping it local in New York State.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you promise you'll come back on again?
Twist my arm. I will come back. That would be fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Olivia. I really, really appreciate it.
It was great. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you so much for joining us for the 10th anniversary season of the RV Atlas.
To find out more about the topics discussed on this show, head on over to thervatlas.com.
And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook and make sure to join us on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram at the RV Atlas.
And if you enjoy our show, please consider leaving us a review over on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And make sure to pick up copies of Where Should We Camp Next, wherever books are sold.
And we will see you at the campground.